KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Clear skies and 7 degrees above zero in Atlantic at 8 o'clock. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 21. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. In state news, Iowa authorities say Interstate 35 has been reopened in both directions between Ames and Clear Lake, a stretch of more than 80 miles. The interstate was closed because dangerous winter driving conditions yesterday. Several crashes had occurred on the highway since the howling winter storm struck on Monday. The National Weather Service said 1 to 2 inches of snow had fallen over much of north central Iowa over the past 24 hours, but winds gusting up to 40 miles per hour made travel hazardous. The Iowa Department of Transportation and State Patrol said this morning that motorists should expect areas of low visibility and snow-covered roadways. A winter weather advisory for northern Iowa is set to expire later this morning. The superintendent of the Clarinda Community School District announced plans Monday evening to retire at the end of this current school year. According to the Daily Nonpareil, Paul Honnold, who will be turning 63, submitted his resignation to the Clarinda School Board during a regularly scheduled meeting. His contract runs through June 30th. His resignation came as somewhat of a surprise to the school board, who only knew from their prepared agenda that they would be acting upon approving a resignation or resignations. Honnold said it was important for him to resign early enough to give the district plenty of time to search for a new leader. At the end of the day, he said he's getting tired and it's time to move on to life's next chapter. Honnold is serving his 41st year in education and will finish his 21st year as superintendent for the Clarinda School District. Once he's retired, he says he's not sure how he'll spend his time. He was first hired in Clarinda, his home, for 35 years of his career as a middle school physical education teacher and wrestling coach. He left between 1986 and 1990 to serve as principal of the Bedford High School and returned as Clarinda's middle school principal for five years before earning the promotion to superintendent. Honnold says he plans to stay in the community and will likely be seen in the schools as a family member instead of the district's top official. The Atlantic Police Department reported yesterday 4 arrests took place on Saturday. 24-year-old Mark Fredrickson of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for allegedly violating the terms of his probation and possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine. 52-year-old Robert Keithley of Atlantic was arrested Saturday for OWI first offense. 29-year-old Tony Mack of Atlantic was arrested for domestic abuse, simple assault. And 38-year-old Eric Smith of Council Bluffs was arrested Saturday for simple assault and assault causing bodily injury. All 4 men were booked into the Cass County Jail. Audubon Police Chief Matt Starmer said yesterday a woman from Shelby County was arrested last Thursday for identity theft over $1,000 and forgery. The offenses allegedly occurred November 20th. 36-year-old Haiti Michele Juarez Castillo of Harlan was transported to the Audubon County Jail and posted a $5,000 recognizance bond on Friday. On Saturday, Audubon police arrested 18-year-old Hannah Marie Spencer of Audubon. She was charged with possession of marijuana, failure to obey a stop sign, and failure to provide security. She was transported to the Audubon County Jail, posted bond, and was released. Audubon County Sheriff's deputies assisted in conducting her arrest. And on January 26th, 38-year-old Micah Mitchell Hansen of Audubon was arrested for failure to maintain control, reckless driving, no valid driver's license, failure to provide security, accident-related, failure to register a vehicle, leaving the scene of an accident, and striking a fixed object. Mitchell later appeared before the magistrate and pled guilty to those charges. The Audubon County Sheriff's Office said yesterday there were 2 recent arrests. On Monday, 57-year-old Pamela Jo Steele of Pittsburgh, Kansas, turned herself into the sheriff's office at around 2 a.m. Steele was wanted on an outstanding warrant out of Audubon County for allegedly violating the terms of her probation. She was being held without bond in the Audubon County Jail pending an appearance before the magistrate. And late last Friday night, 42-year-old Chad William Darrow of Audubon was arrested on an outstanding Audubon County warrant for allegedly violating the terms of his probation. Darrow was being held on $10,000 bond in the Audubon County Jail. Police in Glenwood, who are investigating the alleged selling of drugs, arrested a Sydney man Saturday. The investigation into the selling of methamphetamine in the parking lot of the Glenwood McDonald's restaurant began after authorities received complaints on February 1st. Officials say a vehicle driven by 27-year-old James Hume was stopped Saturday for having an expired light registration as he was leaving the Glenwood McDonald's. Hume was subsequently arrested for possession of methamphetamine with the intent to deliver and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was transported to the Mills County Jail and later released on bond. The Adair County Sheriff's Department said yesterday it was a pretty quiet week in the county over the past week. The Vanderwater, Sheriff Jeff Vanderwater, that is, had only 1 arrest to report. At around 12:30 a.m. on Friday, an Iowa State Patrol trooper arrested 35-year-old Francisco Martinez Villagomez of Carter Lake for OWI first offense. The man was arrested after the trooper was called to the McDonald's restaurant in Stewart. During an interview with Martinez Villagomez, the trooper learned the man's car was in a ditch off Interstate 80, but it wasn't clear where the vehicle was. In the report, the trooper said Martinez Villagomez had a very strong odor of alcohol coming from him, and the man admitted to drinking whiskey. He failed a field sobriety test, was placed under arrest, and transported to the Adair County Law Enforcement Center, where a breath test was administered. A test revealed Martinez Villagomez's alcohol level was at .247, or more than three times the legal limit. Martinez Villagomez was released later in the day Friday after posting at least 10% of his $1,000 bond. The Page County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported two recent non-injury accidents. Last Friday night, a pickup driven by 51-year-old Jane Maxine Lyles of Clarinda was traveling westbound on 140th Street just east of K Avenue, about 6 miles east of Essex, when the pickup went out of control after hitting a patch of ice. The 2000 Dodge Durango went into the north ditch where it rolled through a barbed wire fence before coming to rest on its side. The pickup was considered a total loss. And early Saturday morning, 16-year-old Jaslyn Danae Roop of Farragut was traveling north on Tolbert Avenue from 210th Street, about a mile east of Clarinda, when the vehicle she was driving went out of control on the ice and snow-covered road and slid off into the ditch. Damage was considered to be disabling to that vehicle. No charges were filed in connection with either accident. Elsewhere in the news, two central Iowans have created a coffee table book detailing stories of the county courthouses in all 99 Iowa counties. The 207-page book, entitled Prairie Jewels, features color panoramic images and narratives about each of the stately structures. Freelance writer Michael Adams of Des Moines says David Richmond, who teaches photography at Simpson College in Indianola, started the project 5 years ago, and it evolved into a book.
Some of the stories are kind of long on history. Others, I might focus more on the architecture, and then some might have a little, you know, personal observation. I approach this as a celebration of Iowa's county courthouse heritage.
During their many journeys across the state to visit each building, Adams says they encountered other courthouse groupies who are making similar treks to every courthouse. He's confident the book will have a wide audience.
There's folks that are going to be interested in Iowa history. There's going to be folks that are interested in architecture. There's going to be folks that just, revel in looking at beautiful buildings and so forth. These are stories of the host communities for these buildings as well.
In addition to the many unusual and sometimes spectacular features of the buildings themselves, Adam says there were always tales of community pride, intrigue, and whimsy.
You just walk through these places and you're just incredibly aware of the history. I mean, there were places I visited, like in Leon, for example, and I heard about this attempt by two thieves to blow up the treasurer's office, and they ended up blowing up half the courthouse.
While Iowa has 99 counties, there are actually 100 county courthouses in the state.
Lee County has two courthouses. There's one in Fort Madison, which happens to be the oldest courthouse in Iowa, by the way, and then there is one in Keokuk. And it used to be a post office in its early life.
Pottawatomie County also has two courthouses, the main one in Council Bluffs and the original structure in Avoca, which was built in 1885, although it's now considered a sub-courthouse. Prairie Jewels was the focus of a successful crowd-funded Kickstarter campaign in the spring of 2015. It's available at independent booksellers and online at http://prairiejewels.com. News was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.